Yes, good morning. This is the U105 phone-in. Frank Mitchell here until 12 noon. We're live on the radio, live on Facebook as well, because Leveson Wood is with me in the studio. Leveson, good morning.
Good morning to you.
You know, you've settled down in Belfast for 5 minutes. I presume you don't settle anywhere for very long, because you are one of the world's great adventurers. Where did the last trip take you?
Oh, thank you very much, Frank. Well, I've not long been back from the Middle East, actually. So my latest adventure took me on a full circumnavigation of the Arabian Peninsula. So going to places like Syria, Iraq, Yemen, Saudi Arabia, you know, all the world's real hotspots. And the idea was to go to probably the world's most controversial place and see what life is really like for the normal people that live there.
How easy was it to get into the Yemen?
Very difficult. Very difficult indeed. No visas given out there. So I had to sort of be, taken across the border by some interesting characters.
Yeah, how do you meet those interesting characters? It's like an investigative journalist in many ways.
A little bit, yeah. I mean, I was desperate to get to Yemen. Well, for a couple of reasons. You know, Yemen is the sort of the quarter of Arabia where the original Arabs, you know, the original civilization came from. So I thought, you know, as a bit of a historian myself, I knew I had to go and see it. And the allure was partially because it is so off limits and so underreported. But probably more importantly, you know, it's in the grip of the world's biggest humanitarian crisis in recent history. And what's happening there is truly terrible. So I knew that I had to get in to try and report on it, because all journalists got chucked out two and a half years ago.
And what did you see?
I mean, I saw some horrible stories. You know, the fact there's 8 million people living on the verge of famine. You've got displaced people, refugees flying, you know, flooding over the borders. But the problem is the borders are all closed now. They're in lockdown. No aid is being allowed in. So it's a really very, you know, tragic situation.
But am I right in believing there's so many people at risk of famine, yet there's food very close by?
Well, the problem in Yemen, of course, is that it's actually a very, you know, lush, green country. But it's in the grip of so much fighting. There's so many armed groups all vying for control. On the one hand, you've got these Iranian-sponsored Houthi rebels who are in control of the capital. You've got Al-Qaeda running the middle bit. And then you've got the official government, which doesn't really own very much at all. And they're the ones that, you know, the Saudi coalition is backing up and shoring up. So the problem is, you simply can't move around the country, so food and aid and everything else can't be transported.
What is it within you? Because people will have seen your programmes on Channel 4 and they'll be looking forward to seeing this series when it comes out and is commissioned by one of the major television networks. What is it within you that makes you want to do what you do?
I think I'm just curious about the world in which we live, and hopefully, you know, I kind of, you know, the whole thing about don't believe everything you read in the newspapers. You know, it's true. You know, going there and seeing these sorts of places firsthand, you know, really does restore a bit of my faith in humanity, because generally, you know, whilst there is conflict and strife, and especially in places like the Middle East, actually, the people that live there are lovely, you know, and I've generally been met with incredible hospitality. And it kind of does restore your faith in human nature a bit, because you realise that people are people wherever you go.
A sense of fear in places like Iraq?
I mean, there is. I mean, in Iraq in particular, you know, I was witness to the final battle against ISIS. We got embedded with one of the paramilitary units out there and you know, basically saw them rolling up ISIS villages. You know, we captured several ISIS commanders and liberated a number of villages. But, you know, the sense of joy from the people that were rescued and liberated was amazing. And that's kind of why I did it. But obviously, you know, when you're getting ambushed by ISIS, there's a few moments in there where you're thinking, what have I let myself in for?
Yeah, because if ISIS captured you, they're going to kill you, and they're going to kill you very publicly. Do you have no sense of fear?
Well, I was very much on the winning side. You know, there was a few ISIS and, you know, half the Iraqi army, frankly, with helicopters and tanks and everything else. So there was very little chance of that happening. And, you know, I take risks seriously. You know, it's been my job for a number of years, and actually, you know, all the things that I do have been calculated. And but, you know, there are, of course, you know, I'm not daft. There are moments when you think this could go wrong. Yeah.
With regards to those human beings, and I probably use that term loosely when we're talking about ISIS, do you, when you see them face to face, are they like ordinary people? Yes, they look like ordinary people, but are their minds just warped?
I think, I mean, yeah. Difficult to say what's an ordinary person, but, you know, looking into the eyes of a member of ISIS, you know, somebody who has done this, you know, some terrible things in all likelihood, is quite shocking. And it takes something to actually regard them as a human being, actually. For what it's worth, the guys that I saw, you know, looked guilty, put it that way. There was a look in their eyes. They knew that once they'd been captured, you know, there was no denying it. They didn't even bother. They just put their hands up and they were like, yeah, you know, off we go.
You as a person going into theatres of war, going into areas of conflict. Mm. Generally, who do you travel with? You have a camera operator? Do you travel light? What way does that work?
Very, very light. I mean, you have to. I mean, if you get in trouble in somewhere like Syria or ISIS, you need a small team, people who you trust, so you can get out of there as quickly as possible. So I never go more than, you know, a car's worth, basically, which really limits you to having one guy on the camera, one guy who's helping with the logistics, security, and everything else. So, you know, each member of the team, and plus one local guide, really. So it's only ever sort of three, maximum four people. But every person in that team needs to be trained in different things. So my cameraman is also, you know, medically qualified. The security guy also, you know, is a very good photographer, for instance. So everyone sort of, you know, joins in. They're all mates of old. You know, I served in the British Army for a while, and they're basically a lot of them, you know, the guys that I work with are mates from the Army, actually.
When you were with the regiments, where were you stationed?
So I was in Afghanistan.
And yeah. Did you find that an experience that enriched you, challenged you, sickened you?
Yeah, I mean, it was sometimes all of the above, you know. I spent 5 years in the Army, and actually Afghanistan, you know, on the one hand, it was tough and it was hard work, but actually, you know, you're with people that you trust. It's an intense time. But the sense of camaraderie is something you probably don't experience anywhere else in life. So I look back fondly, you know, on that time.
And did you always want to be the filmmaker? Did you always want to be the person who would bring something to the screen? Or is it simply Mr. Wood the adventurer?
You know, it wasn't TV, actually, that wasn't why I got into it. That was actually by a stroke of chance, actually. When I left the Army, I ended up setting up a little company doing, you know, guided expeditions. So I was kind of very much behind the scenes, organising the logistics and so on to take clients away on trips. And it wasn't long before, you know, I'd been requested by TV broadcasters to take their own teams away. So very much working behind the scenes. But my aspiration was to write. I'd always wanted to be a writer and to write about travel and adventure and far-flung places. And, you know, obviously TV is a great platform, and the two go very much hand in hand.
And people can see you live on stage, Belfast Ulster Hall, at the end of November. I think it's the 26th of November. You're doing this over 12 nights in different British cities. What happens on the stage? I can imagine what it's like in a theatre of war or on some really forlorn border. We've seen it on screen, but how does it come across on stage?
Well, I'm not sure which is more terrifying, to be honest. But, you know, I like to sort of work in different mediums. I'm a photographer, I'm a writer. But on stage, when you're standing there face-to-face with the audience, I think there's something really good about the fact that people can ask you anything. You know, there's a Q&A at the end, so people can ask whatever questions they might have. And I've definitely been put on the spot a few times, but I don't mind that. But really, it's an opportunity for people to see lots of unseen footage. Like I say, this hasn't been out on the telly yet. So there's going to be lots of clips, you know, including the moment where I get ambushed by ISIS and the like. And I'll be doing a couple of readings for my book, which is published tomorrow. So really, it's just different formats, lots of photography, very interactive. So hopefully people will enjoy it if they come along, and feel free to come on with some tough questions.
Yeah, people no doubt will ask me what the book's called. What's it called?
Well, the book's called Arabia, A Journey Through the Heart of the Middle East.
They ask you tough questions probably from a political perspective.
Sometimes,
is it a British soldier just backing the West all the time and never questioning anything? Is that the sort of person you are?
Not at all. Not at all. Like I say, I was going to places on both sides of the equation, trying to show a balanced viewpoint in some of those controversial parts of the world, especially, you know, in Yemen, for instance. I was there under the guise and protection of one of the rebel groups fighting the Saudi coalition. In Israel, Palestine, you know, I was embedded with Palestinian protesters who were fighting against the IDF out there. But I also knew I needed to show a balanced viewpoint. So I was also went to an Israeli Special Forces training camp where they teach civilians how to fight against Palestinian, you know, attackers. Likewise in Syria, you know, I saw it from the perspective of the Kurdish, you know, fighters who are fighting against both the government and ISIS. And also I was embedded with Assad and Russian troops. So, you know, I kind of, you know, I've seen it from every different angle.
It sounds like a crazy life to lead, but it is incredibly interesting. If people do want to see Leveson Wood live on stage, it's the Belfast Ulster Hall at the end of November. There'll be details, of course, from the Ulster Hall. If you want to get yourself a ticket for that, it will be interesting. Leveson, we'll be looking out for the series on a TV channel near us very soon indeed. Thanks for dropping by. Thank you for coming in.
Thank you.
Leveson Wood live on Facebook as well here on U105. Good morning.